Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know how many of you have news apps on your phones, on your smartphones, but I have three of them. And I'm not a fanatic about it, but I do check them at least twice a day, in the morning and the evening, sometimes other times of the day if I think things are going on. And I like to see from different perspectives what's going on in the world, what's going on in the news, things like that. It's sort of, I don't know, pastor's responsibility to know what's going on in the world, not just what's the world of the church. But one of my pet peeves is if I check one of the news apps in the morning and then I check it in the evening and some of the same articles are there, I want to say, no, wait a minute. All the stuff going on in the world and you're giving us the same articles and it's been 10 hours since I've looked at this, should be all new stuff, new. News is new. New equals news. Of course, I'm sure the news apps would disagree with me. But the gospel writer here says the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the good news. To me, that means this is newsworthy. It is new. It is changing things. It has changed things. The beginning of the good news. Well, as we advance into Advent and then into the Christmas season, what is our good news that we have? News, meaning to me new. Something new about the season of Advent. Not just the same old thing. Well, I think the first thing that the gospel writer mentions is to quote the prophet Isaiah, and that would later be quoted, of course, by John the Baptist. That is, that God needs us to prepare the way. You go, well, that doesn't sound too new. Sort of sounds like the same thing we've heard before. But listen, God needs us to prepare the way. Now, in saying that, in proclaiming that to you as new, I'm breaking one of my own rules. It's another one of my pet peeves. I don't have a lot of pet peeves, but I do have some. But I hate it when you've finished eating and they take 10 minutes to bring the ticket to your table and you're sitting there and you're waiting. That's another pet peeve. Never mind. I just chased a rabbit. Sorry. But anyway, I do have some pet peeves. And one of them is you say God can't or God must. Or God needs, you know, God is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. God is the creator of all things. God doesn't need anything. God can't do anything. God is God. But God decided, God chose to need us to prepare the way. God said, I'm going to put that on my people. God could have prepared the way. God can do anything. There's nothing that God cannot do. God could have done that, but God said, look, through my prophet and through John the Baptist, who's going to go before Christ, I'm going to state, prepare the way of the Lord. That's the message to us. It was the message to the people at that time that John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness, but it's still the message for us as well. Prepare the way of the Lord. That means God is saying, you and me, we need to prepare the way of the Lord. And you go, well, you know, what exactly does that mean? How can we prepare the way? What is going on with that? Renee, you know, used to work at the Greenville News, and she said on one occasion President Bush was coming, and he was going to take a tour of the Greenville News. Who knew? And she said, oh, my stars. She said it was like months of preparations. They had to interview anyone who would be at a desk near where the president would be walking through. Secret Service were there. They met with them over and over and over again. They positioned people on the roofs and all this stuff. She said it was months of preparation for him to take a 10-minute tour of the Greenville News and go on his way. Well, we're not involved in that kind of preparation. We're involved in something vastly more important, vastly more significant. We are preparing the way for what the kingdom will be. We are called upon to prepare the way for what the kingdom of Christ will be all about. We are called upon to demonstrate grace, to live grace in our lives. We are called upon to let the world know this is what can be in the world. This is what will be when Christ comes again. So be prepared for it. It'll be a world where there is no hunger, no illness, no disasters, no want, no pain, no fear, no suffering. And so we look at the world and we hear that word to us, prepare the way. Prepare the way for what will be. Prepare the way for what can be. And then we are to take that seriously and to say, this is what can be. That God's loyal love to us, God's grace, is evident. And that therefore we love and care and serve in our world. God needs you to help prepare the way. We also have a prophecy to fulfill, not just to state, not just to say, this is a prophecy that Christ is coming again. This is a prophecy that Christ was born and lived and died and ascended and that Christ will come again. But we also have a prophecy to fulfill. You might say, well, I'm not really qualified to fulfill prophecies. But then verse 8 of chapter 1, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God's presence. We are baptized with God's Spirit. We are made capable of accomplishing anything and all things. That is what we are capable of doing. That is what we are capable of accomplishing because that is the God that we worship. That is the God that we adore. That's the God who makes it possible for us to accomplish those things. And so we have a prophecy to fulfill. We have a message, indeed, to proclaim to the world and to show that through our actions. I know that a lot of you know Ron Nicholson. He is a very significant person in the life of Bethesda because he can't be here with us. Since I've known him, just about the whole time I've known him, he's being confined to a wheelchair. He was a very active and capable person, but started having back issues, more like a degenerative back deterioration. And they kept doing surgeries and surgeries and surgeries and trying to strengthen all the different parts of the spine. And finally, he just had a few vertebrae that hadn't been braced and all this sort of stuff. And one of those messed up, and he ended up being paralyzed from the waist down. And in a wheelchair because they were hadn't fixed those last three or four vertebrae. And so he's been battling that for over a year now. And he is brave in the midst of it, and he's had other health complications that go along with all that stuff too. But he has continued to show improvement. And if you go visit him, he can move one leg very well, the other leg not so much. And he's even gotten to where he can stand for a brief period of time, holding on to a counter or something, but really just stand there. And so the therapy seems to be working, the spine seems to be getting stronger or whatever else. But I was talking to him about it, and I always try to gently touch upon the fact that, you know, the reality of his situation. And so I was talking to him, and he said, well, one thing about it, he said, at night when I go to sleep, he said, I walk in my dreams. I walk in my dreams. I thought that was so powerful. When he's dreaming, he's walking. That's a message about the prophecy that we have to fulfill. Because we look around, even at ourselves, even at those here and our family members and friends, we realize they have dreams as well that have not been fulfilled. They've had dreams that have been dashed. And we look at our world, that person we encounter in the world, that person who seems to be okay and yet might have a broken heart over things of life. But in their dreams, they are well, they are strong, they are capable. In their dreams, they've accomplished everything. In their dreams, they are the person that they know they were supposed to be. We have that prophecy to fulfill in their lives, not just in our lives, but in their lives as well, to say all things are possible through Jesus Christ. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit, the power given to us by God on high. Therefore, we can make these dreams reality in your life as well. We can make them a reality because God is a God of infinite possibilities. God is a God who says, yes, you can. Yes, you can change the world. Yes, you can change people's lives. Yes, this is what we do as Christians. This is what we do as the church. The beginning of the good news. What a powerful way to start a gospel. The beginning of the good news. Well, we have an announcement to make to the world as well. We have an announcement. Just as the angels announced to Mary and then Joseph, to Elizabeth and Zechariah, that Jesus would be born, then as the angels announced that to the shepherds out watching their flocks by night, we have an announcement to make as well. We have an important announcement to make, and that is the announcement of our walk with Christ. The announcement of the fact that we walk with Christ and that we see Christ in our lives and in the lives of others each and every day. You have a story. Your faith story, it's new and fresh with every day because that is the God that we serve, the God who gives us a story each day, a God who encounters us right where we are each and every day. And that story of our faith walk is the announcement that we need to make, that we must make, that we are called upon to make into all the world. You might say, well, my story's a little bit mundane. My story's a little ho-hum, but it's your story of your faith walk. Back in the days, you know, churches used to have revivals. I bet some of you have been to revivals from time to time. And one of the things they would try to do in big revivals, big tent revivals, was to bring in someone who had had a traumatic conversion experience, taken from the brink of death and destruction and everything, and turned around, God saved them to the bone marrow and made them a new person. And they would be great revival speakers saying, this is what God did. When I thought everything was lost, God picked me up, turned me around, and made me a new creation. Well, that is wonderful. And a dramatic conversion experience is also very powerful and a wonderful way to motivate people through times of revival. But it's not entirely necessary, and it's not entirely realistic to the faithful who are here every Sunday, to the faithful who are there walking with those in the world. We don't have to have a dramatic conversion experience. And sometimes that might turn someone off. That might make them say, well, you know, they've had this wonderful experience and God's blessed them and I'm just trying to muddle through and I seem to keep falling on my face all the time. But we can talk about how we stumble in little ways, how we try to walk and sometimes we get tired and we try to do things and sometimes we just don't want to and we try to do the right thing and sometimes we do the wrong thing. And that people will identify with, that people will understand, that people will hear and they'll go, your story is my story. And if you see Christ in the midst of your story, then perhaps I need to open my eyes and see Christ in the midst of my story as well. That, I believe, is the best and strongest announcement that we can make that is new and fresh to our world, new and fresh to everyone that we encounter. The beginning of the good news. I love that phrase. I love that he states it in that way. Because if it's the beginning of the good news, that means there's more to follow. There's more to happen. That there's more that's going to take place. We are still at that point, that threshold of saying this is just the beginning of the good news of what Christ will accomplish in our world. This is just the beginning of how Christ changes our lives, gives us a story to give to others, how Christ helps us as we prepare the way for Christ to come into the world. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to the early church people? I wonder which person, there had to be one who came up with the idea of, you know, we spend a lot of time celebrating the resurrection. We spend a lot of time understanding the passion of Christ, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and even the ascension of Christ. We spend a lot of time on that sort of temporary end story. But you know, maybe we need to spend some time on the beginning of the story. Have we ever thought about having a feast day, a celebration of the birth of Christ? Let's celebrate Christ's birthday, not as an ending, but as a beginning. Someone came up with that idea. Some unsung hero or heroine came up with that idea of let's celebrate the birth of Christ. Let's celebrate the beginning. Well, we as God's people still celebrate that beginning as well. We understand the importance, the significance, the power of the resurrection, of the ascension. But we also understand the beginning and how that creates beginnings in all of our lives, each and every day. That every day that begins is also an opportunity for us to see Christ. Every day that begins is an opportunity for us to express Christ into that day, to communicate Christ, and to call on others to see Christ as we continue to prepare the way for Christ coming into the world. Let us pray.